So our scripture focus this week is a long passage from the book of Acts. It's a great story about Paul and Silas in their traveling and their efforts in living a Christian life. They traveled all around carrying the gospel with them, ready to share it with all the people who needed it, wherever they were, whatever their circumstances. There's an old song you probably heard, "Give Me That Old Time Religion," right? It's good enough for me. And one of the verses is, "It was good for Paul and Silas." It's good for Paul and Silas. Well, it's good enough for me. There is something good for us here. We can read in the scripture. We can see it in the scripture. The lives that they lived and their deeds that were done were significant, to be sure, something worthy of the stories that were told about them here in Acts, worth emulating. And so we're reading this week from the book of Acts, from chapter 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we all are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire house, entire family, were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house, set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. I was just thinking while reading that, sometimes it seems like we should just sit in here and read the scriptures. Man, sometimes they bowl me over. There was this little girl from a bad neighborhood in a big city, and she was making her way along a main street in the city and seeing the lights, hearing the music coming from the church. She went in and sat and listened. And the preacher's scripture was, "I am the light of the world." At the end of the service, she went up to the minister and she said, did you say you are the light of the world, sir?" And the minister replied, no, dear child, Christ is the light of the world, and I am one of the lights." And the little girl looked at him for a moment, and then shyly she said, well, sir, I'd really like it if you could come down and hang out behind my house in the alley. It is awful dark back there. It's awful dark." Christians, we as Christians are to be, as Jesus said, the light of the world, bravely shining light, even in the darkness, even in these darkest corners. Our focus for these past few weeks has been on this important message for us, this call we have as God's people to shine light and do good in the world, to be the kind of people that show forth the light of Christ into the darkness everywhere we go. And we see this play out in a really significant way in our story today with Paul and Silas. They are traveling. They are ministering now in Philippi. And Paul and Silas, they were preaching and worshiping and sharing the good news wherever they go. In their ministry in Philippi, they keep running into this girl who calls out to them, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." And she keeps doing this day after day, this slave girl calling them slaves of the Most High God. And finally, they free the slave girl from her demon possession in the town there. They offer her this gift, this light to her on their journey, which oddly enough ends up getting them sent off to prison. And we see with them in the story that living the Christian life, sharing the good news, is not always a struggle-free kind of life. They are stripped down. They're beaten with rods. They're put into prison. Their feet shackled to the wall in the innermost cell. And Paul and Silas, they just go on living the Christian life, sharing the gospel. And wherever they are, traveling around from town to town, even here as we find them in chains, in the darkness of the prison, they're holding on to their faith. And with the faith that they have, and that the light that they have to give, these profound, God-sized things seem to happen all around them. It was midnight, the scripture says. And Paul and Silas began praying and singing hymns. It seems a bit out of place here in the prison to be praying and singing, but they do. And the walls then, the floors, they start to shake and their chains are broken and they are freed, or they could be. And it's then that the jailer wakes up, we see in our story. He wakes up and assuming that the prisoners that were his responsibility, assuming they had all escaped, he planned to kill himself. But Paul shouts out, we see in the scripture, that he shouts out to the jailer and assures him they're all here. And it makes you wonder, this faith of Paul and Silas, it makes you wonder, what can give you a faith like that? When in the middle of the night in prison, where worry and fear might be our first inclination, where it could be tempting to give it all up. In life, when something big happens, life-shattering, the phone call in the night, the bad news from the doctor, the betrayal, the struggling marriage, getting laid off, when life seems upside down, to have the courage and the strength not to give in to the darkness, but instead to carry on in faith, to sing and to pray. This begs the question, how can we have a life like that? How can we too live like that? And it's like the jailer in the story is wondering the same thing. It's like he's asking that same question when he says, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" He says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus," is Paul's answer. This salvation question from the jailer, it seems to be the key, I think, the question, the answer for us too. I read about a pastor who visited a death row inmate, and at the time of his visit, the inmate had been waiting for his execution for 21 years, and the pastor went into the prison with his heart in his throat and anticipating the worst, but that's not what he found. Instead, what he found was a broken sinner who had found Christ, who was redeemed, who is living a surprising life of freedom in Christ. And when they spoke, the prisoner talked about grace, and he talked about freedom constantly, because he found that's what finally changed him. And the prisoner, he said, it doesn't matter where you are. It's who you are that matters. And he said, I am a person who is loved and forgiven by God. And then he kind of took his hands and he rattled the chains that tied his wrists together, rattled them dismissively as if they didn't even matter. He was bound with these chains on. He was bound there in prison, but it didn't even matter to him because he had claimed the love of God for his own. It was like Jesus had already set him free. There is a significant theme here in our story of theme of freedom and of slavery that's kind of running throughout the whole story like a trail for us to follow to the end. And from the beginning, the slave girl is burdened and she's enslaved in more ways than one. And oddly, she calls out to Paul and Silas, calling them slaves of the Most High God. Here in the prison, it seems as though the jailer is free. He's got a job. He's working. He seems like he's free. But really, it is clear in his desperation, his near suicide, that he is not free at all. But he is struggling, broken and bound by something. Paul and Silas, called slaves of God, shackles on their feet, bound in the innermost cell of the prison. They seem to be imprisoned, but really, really they're free. Totally free. They are free, and it is on display in their praying, in their singing in the middle of the night in the prison. Didn't matter where they were. They had found salvation in Christ. They were free. And it is holding on for us. It is holding on to this salvation in Christ that makes us free wherever we are, able to stand grounded and faithful when life is upside down. Even in the darkness, we can hold on to the hope we have in Christ, to let go of the worry and the fear and live with joy and confidence in Christ. This salvation, this hope we have in Christ, it changes things. It did for Paul and Silas in the prison. It did for the jailer in the end. His life was rerouted. His whole family was changed. And Paul and Silas here, they show us how we can go everywhere. We can go anywhere into the darkest of places. It doesn't matter where we are. We're called to hold on to the salvation we found in Christ, to carry it with us always, to shine the light of Christ wherever we are. And it changes things. This light of Christ within us, it changes things all around us. President Woodrow Wilson told the story once. He said that he was in a very common place. He was sitting in a barber chair when he became aware that someone had entered the room. The man, D.L. Moody, had come quietly in to do the same thing as he, to have his hair cut. And he sat down in a chair like everyone else, and he spoke with the barber like everyone else, though it seemed that every word the man spoke was like a gift of kindness and goodness to the room he was in. And then before the haircut was over, President Wilson said that he purposely lingered in the room after Moody had left and noticed the effect that his visit had brought upon the whole barbershop. They had spoken now in hushed undertones. Their thoughts had been elevated. He said it was like they had attended a worship service that morning because D.L. Moody was sitting in that chair. The author Rita Snowden tells of a time she was visiting a small town in England. She was having tea in the late afternoon when she became very aware that there was this unbelievably pleasant smell filling the air. And she asked the waiter the source of the scent, and she was told that it came from the people who were passing by. And he explained to her that they worked in the perfume factory down the street, and they were on their way home. And when they left the factory, they were carrying with them the fragrance that had permeated their clothes during their day's work. And Rita saw this as an illustration of what the church can be like at its best. We should be people who allow ourselves in Christ to be so permeated with the love of Christ and the sweetness of his presence. And then as we go forth into the world, that fragrance of the Lord goes with us and out to all the people we're passing by, all those we come across in this life. Jesus, our source of salvation and strength, gives us abundant blessings of grace. And to move out of our fear, our brokenness, and step into the freedom and the light of Christ, it's an amazing gift. And our calling is to carry that light within us, to turn and to share that gift, sharing kindness and goodness, grace of God, sharing the light of Christ wherever we go. Amen.